Hey everybody, it's Adam, live and in person for you. Hey everybody, it's Adam, wonder who he'll interview.
Welcome everyone, I am so excited to be catching up with my entertainment idol, alt-pop singer-songwriter, Rachel Sage, who I have been a fan of since 2012. Rachel is getting ready to release her full-length album, Canopy, on October 24th, and here in New York City on October 23rd, the day before, Rachel is doing an album release party, returning to the Cutting Room here in New York City. So Rachel, welcome. I am so excited to have you with us today.
Thank you so much for having me. You are the beginning of my day, other than this incredibly dramatic storm that woke me up at 6 a.m. So,
Oh my gosh.
Hello from the Hudson Valley. That's where I am right now.
Oh, well, I love to be the start of your day.
Yay.
And we are going to start this interview off by asking you this very first question. So you have been doing your album preview tour since March, because you and I did an interview back in March when you were getting ready to, like, Canopy was put together, but you were starting to release the first single, which is the title track of Canopy.
That's right.
At that time. And you were going
out
on tour.
Wow, was that March? Boy.
That was March,
this season has flown by, my goodness.
It has. And now, release day for the full album is next Friday. So how are you feeling now that release day is so close?
I am, of course, full of anticipation, and I'm also a little overwhelmed. It's been a whirlwind. As I know you're aware, I just got off of an extensive tour with the wonderful Kristen Ford. We were doing a tour we had dubbed the Joy Equals Resistance Tour, which was also part of my Under My Canopy tour. And we've just been going. So I've been playing many, many shows for months now and performing these songs live every night. And now I'll show you, I actually just got a little shipment of these in the mail. It's very shiny on your phone, very reflective.
Oh my gosh, but I love it.
Yeah, and it's real now. So it's kind of wild. I still haven't gotten the deluxe version of the CD and the vinyl yet with the, you know, just much more extensive packaging and some of my paintings, like this one behind me, included in it. But any minute now, that package will arrive and it will be Christmas in October, Hanukkah in October.
We love the holidays in October. Well, we are very excited for this new release. And I just want to let everybody know you can pre-order the CD now on wherever you get your music. Amazon, you can pre-save it on Spotify. You can pre-save it at iTunes. And I know, Rachel, you have all the information as to where you can get the music on your website, rachelsage.com. So I just want to make sure everybody knows they can go there. And in addition to the album dropping next Friday, this time around, you did things a little differently, whereas normally you would release a few singles and as a way to tease the album. But this time around, you released a few singles, but each single was its own being. You created music videos for each one, and you were trying a different process. So how did that process, now that the album's coming out next week, how did this process work for you this time as opposed to what you used to do?
Well, it's not over yet. We have another single actually pending in advance of the album called Nexus that's coming very soon. And then an instant gratification track, Killed the Clock, for anyone who has pre-ordered the album, they'll receive that immediately. So still rolling, it's not done yet, but it's been really exciting because, like you noted, instead of just putting out two, three singles in advance of the album, I've pretty much, I will have shared about half of the record before it drops. And I love it. I love doing it this way. Of course, my team, you know, they've been very busy because it sort of multiplies the promotional endeavors by however many singles you have. But it feels like just the right way to do it when you're, you know, when you've conceived each song as its own little world. And for instance, the song Kill the Clock I just mentioned, I just finished watching the first draft of a video by a wonderful designer and animator named Carissa Johnson, who's also a fantastic musician. And I'm just so excited that this clip will come out with the song. And it's wild, it's very creative, very colorful and adventurous, and it won't get lost in the shuffle, you know, of the album itself. So that's been the case since March, as you noted. And also it allows me to play these songs out live while people can actually, you know, go stream them or purchase them. So it's been great.
Yes. And speaking of playing these songs live, as I mentioned, you were on, you have been on this preview tour of the album since March as well. And you are coming to New York City next Thursday, October 23rd, for your album release party. What have you noticed about your, well, okay, so wait, let me try to, wait, let
Take
me get
a
the
breath. I know it's, there's so much, right?
This is. So how has the audience's response to the songs been? Like, which songs have you noticed that they've really gravitated towards?
That's a great question. So sometimes, you know, when I play the song Canopy, the title track, if I'm doing my job right, you know, there's a mood that's already been created and people are ready to receive a song that is very much, you know, about what's happening now in our country, in our democracy, in the world at large, and certainly with regards to our Mother Earth that we need to take much better care of. So, you know, on a good night, it feels like we're all in it together and we're all playing the song. You know, I can't do this alone. The audience really is the other member of the band. And when they listen in a certain way, it feels like you know, we're really creating a community in that moment. There are other songs like Live It Up and Just Enough that are a little bit more up-tempo and peppier musically, but they still have that grounded message of acceptance and inclusivity. And those have been going over especially well. So, you know, when I see people clapping along and they're singing that final chorus, I know we're all doing something right together. So it's really been great. And I can't wait to bring the show to New York City. And as you also know, proceeds from this show, a portion of the proceeds will benefiting the Trevor Project, which is an LGBTQ plus suicide prevention hotline. And they provide mental health services to our community in New York. So that'll be wonderful as well.
That is great. Especially in this climate that we're living in, we could use all the support we can get.
Amen.
For sure. And so many of the songs on Canopy do relate to some of the struggles that the LGBTQ plus IA community have been going through. Mm-hmm. And one of the songs that you wrote about is Colorized World, which is about your own coming out as bisexual that you wrote about. And what I love about the song is that you wrote about it in your, you actually wrote it in your 20s.
I did, yeah.
So what is it like to revisit the song now, and how do you feel it relates even more today?
Sure. Well, you sure read my bio well, because I had a little blurb, a little explanation of each song. And it's true, I noted that song was created in my 20s. And it's not about my coming out per se, but it's from during that time when I was exploring all of that. And I did fall in love with absolutely brilliant and inspiring musician. And, you know, there was a whole process of me, you know, just not only self-acceptance, but also trying to explain some of this to my friends and family in a way that they could process and they could handle, but also made me feel comfortable. And, you know, when you're in your 20s, this is all just so huge. And, or any time in life, you know, when you're sharing something deeply important and a part of you with your loved ones, you want people to understand, but you also, you know, want to keep these people in your life and not judging you. So there was a whole roller coaster during that time for sure. The song itself is, you know, it's very timely now, I think, because he captures that first blush, you know, that idealistic love when you're young, when it just, it feels like the most important thing in your life. And it's a memory and it's nostalgia. And it's, so the song is all those things, but I also decided to release it now in honor of this person who very sadly passed away recently. And, you know, we didn't keep in close touch, but we did keep in touch and we weren't in each other's lives. And, you know, I hope somewhere up smut, her song is finally being heard.
Yes. Well, it's beautiful that you're able to release it in tribute to her now. And I am sorry to hear that she passed
Thank
away.
You. I appreciate that.
No problem.
A beautiful, beautiful artist. I don't mind sharing her name. Some folks might know her because she has been a very, you know, widely seen and heard violinist. Her name was Allison Cornell. And a couple of her big gigs were tours with people like Shania Twain and Cyndi Lauper and Tracy Chapman. So yeah, she absolutely left her mark on our music.
Well, as someone who has seen Cyndi Lauper on tour, I can yeah. only imagine that I must have seen her then.
I'm sure you did.
Yeah.
And isn't that amazing, you know, that through our expression and these gifts that, you know, we're given, and then we do our part to hone them and you know, do our craft. But some people like her, they're just gifted. And I'm very lucky that I knew her and that I loved her.
Oh, that is wonderful.
Beklempt, hashtag Beklempt.
Yes, yes, yes. Well, before we become a bucket of tears, let us move forward with talking about your upcoming, well, actually, I just want to stick with the LGBTQIA+ theme for a little bit more, because sure. another song on the album that you mentioned is coming out as a single soon is your song Nexus.
Yes.
Which you wrote, if my understanding is correct, you wrote in response to the tragic death of the non-binary student Nex Benedict, who was beaten to death by their school peers.
Horrific. Yeah, just, it's very hard to talk about. And this is actually a song that I recorded on the album right after I wrote it. And I haven't ever played it live because, you know, I'm not sure how I'm going to do that. I'm aiming to in New York at my album release, but when we hear a story that's just so profoundly horrifying, it's just impossible not to be moved. And as an artist, to not want to try to make some sense out of the senseless. I don't know if I've done that here, but what I've tried to do is to honor Nex Benedict and their family. And to just put myself in their position, in their shoes, and just remembering that this was someone's beloved child, and to somehow resolve to do better, to provide better support and just guardrails against this kind of behavior in our schools, which should be safe. And I think we've talked about this before. I was bullied as a kid and it was pretty severe. You know, I was kicked and pushed and had my head flushed in a toilet. I mean, these are things that should not be anyone's rite of passage. And, you know, they happen later in life at universities and in the Greek system, you know, or in different ways now, of course, on the internet as adults. So whatever I can ever do to just try to encourage understanding and, you know, change in terms of accountability when these things happen. I will do my best. But yeah, it's a tribute for sure.
Yes. Have you been able to share the song with Nex's family?
I haven't. And I keep expressing that, you know, I hope this song is some kind of a salve if they ever hear it. I don't know if they will, but certainly we can do our best to try to share it, you know.
Yeah.
I hope that they hear it, but again, it's more about energy too and just putting something out there that's positive. The chorus of this song that repeats is actually quite uplifting and it's a rallying cry to lift each other up. And even within the community, within the LGBTQ+ community, to just do away with some of the misunderstanding and infighting, if you will, that sometimes even happens within our community when we're too judgmental of one another. So, you know me, I'm a big hippie. I want everybody to love each other and embrace each other's differences and you know, just be able to be who we are and celebrate that.
Yes. Well, the idea of the song of Nexus reminds me, and it's very timely because yesterday was the anniversary of Matthew Shepard's passing.
I know, yes.
And it reminds me of the Melissa Etheridge song that she wrote in tribute to him, Scarecrow, on her album. Of course, now I'm forgetting the album name in the moment. But
I know it, but I need, after this interview, I'm going to go back and listen to it. It's been a very long time.
Yeah. So hearing you talk about the creation of Nexus reminded me of her song. So, and I feel like you both have very similar writing styles in you really go deep. For anybody watching who has not listened to Rachel's music yet, Rachel is very intuitive with her writing and she goes very deep and she has fun songs. She has really introspective songs.
Yes. It's a roller coaster.
Yes. Yes. So definitely after this interview, if you have not heard the singles that Rachel has released in advance of Canopy, I highly encourage you to go to your favorite music streaming platform and listen to them. Yes, you have. I'm so glad you have the album cover.
It can also, if you come to a show, we already have the album. You could be the first on your block. We've got shows coming up in New York and upstate New York and Texas and a bunch of other places. And of course, The Cutting Room in New York City on October 23rd.
Next Thursday, the night before release date.
That's right.
Very exciting. So speaking of The Cutting Room, of the live show coming up, why would you encourage people to come see you perform these songs live as opposed to just having them listen to the album on, say, one of the streaming platforms?
So many reasons. I mean, you can never really replicate that live in-person energy. I think the first word that comes to my mind is surprise. You know, I am a little bit on the edge always. I never even know exactly what I'm going to do, what I'm going to say. And this is also the debut under our moniker, Rachel Sage and the Sequins. So I am absolutely, I don't know if you can see that, it's very shiny. Focus, focus. Rachel Sage and the Sequins. It's not just about me, me, me. I mean, it never has been, but it's so nice to finally be giving that recognition and really highlighting how extraordinary these musicians are who I get to play with. We have Dave Eggar on cello. He's a world-renowned musician who's played with Paul Simon and Coldplay and Lindsey Stirling. He's just incredible. And my drummer, Andy Mack, who's on tour right now with Pete Muller and the Kindred Souls, just incredible. He really serves the song. It's not just about rocking out, you know, he's underscoring the emotion in every lyric. Who else do we have? Trina Hanlon on harmonica. And she's just so much fun. And we have a great stage chemistry and are constantly trying to not make each other laugh, which of course makes everybody laugh. And special guests Annalise and Ryan will be singing with me as well. So it's gonna be so much fun. And I'm just super excited.
Oh my gosh, I'm very excited for the concert. I can't wait to be there. And I have to say, I was lucky enough to come to your last concert at The Cutting Room where Annalise and Ryan performed as well. And they were incredible. I had never heard them until that concert. So I'm very excited that they're back to join you and to get to see the Sequins again as well with you.
Hooray.
It's gonna be really, really exciting.
Yes, and they sang all over this album. So they're going to be singing a lot of those vocal parts, and then maybe we'll come up with some new stuff as well. And you know me, I get sick of myself. I have to do something new. So I may even play a brand new song. And you can't hear that on any record.
That is reason enough. I cannot wait. Now, speaking of Canopy, the full album, how would you describe this album to somebody?
You know, I think it is just like a big, warm, sparkly hug. And I am sort of opening the door into a world that is inclusive and accepting and loving and just unconditionally supportive. And I wanted to capture that intention through these songs, through this album. When I wrote the song Canopy, I knew I had the title. And then it really was about curating some older songs and a whole bunch of new songs. And you know, these are some crazy times. My heart is always breaking and healing on a daily basis, you know, an hourly basis. And it's really hard to navigate all of the divisiveness and the turmoil and chaos in our midst, you know, in terms of the news and world politics and social media. And I want, you know, this music and my band and what we're trying to give to be the antidote to that as much as we can be, you know, in our very small and musical way.
Well, music does have a way to bring people together, and I feel like it also has a way to help people think a little differently, or at least open up their
Yes.
minds a little bit to
Exactly.
maybe things they don't understand. One thing that we have touched upon that I will never understand is bullying, which is something that, I mean, I have experienced as well in high school. I
I'm
mean,
sorry, Bubba. If I
yes.
had been there, I would have yoga kicked their tuchus.
We
It's
would have protected each other.
true. Yeah.
But what based upon your own experience, what is something that you could share? Because I'm sure there is somebody watching that has been bullied as well.
Yeah.
What could you share that helped you through it either at the time or now in looking back on it? What's something that you feel like could help you get through it?
Sure. Yeah, it's rough. You know, there isn't an easy answer often because it's the adults in the schools or, you know, sometimes even parents who can be oblivious and at worst, you know, encourage the behavior. And I experienced that. I had teachers who actually equated tattling, sharing what was happening to me, with the behavior of bullying. Like, we don't like toddlers, you know, you're gonna be punished for that. We're gonna take your name off the yellow ribbon board. And I'm like 7 years old, you know. So looking back, I mean, it was just horrendous how things were handled. Parents from, you know, victims of bullying and perpetrators of bullying being sort of lumped in together and told their kids need to just work it out. And I like to think we've come further since then. I know in some communities we have, in some we absolutely haven't. And documentaries like the movie Bully have revealed that all too much. But what I would say is, even if it's not in your school, finding that adult who you can trust, you know, whether it's a teacher or a coach or a parent, you know, someone at your church, your temple, your mosque, you know, someone you can go to who has that greater authority to potentially actually help you, you know, that's foremost. I would also say, and this doesn't help in terms of, you know, actually getting physically pushed around maybe, but just in terms of psychologically, working on that relationship with yourself to be as strong as it possibly can. You know, easier said than done, but I had my music and I had my dance. And even when I was bullied for doing those things at a high level, you know, for being uncool and queer, because I liked, you know, dance and recording more than I wanted to go to the party or whatever stupid reason, that those relationships with what I did, what I was creating, what I love to do, were so strong that somewhere in there, you know, I could cling to that and I knew this is who I am. And someday none of this will matter. I'm gonna get through it. And having that grounding, that hopefulness based on your own sense of self-esteem, your own sense of self-worth is just crucial. So
Definitely. I mean, music was definitely something that I found myself definitely going to when during the times of bullying. I mean, my parents were very supportive. I'm very grateful that they were supportive of me and trying to help get it resolved, and I could
always
come to them.
But they probably didn't always know what to do or how to help, right? I mean,
I'm sure there were times they didn't know what to do, but they did give me as much advice as they could. If they were, I know they're watching, and I was going to say if they were available, I would be happy to bring them up. But I know
they
that
they did good with you. That's for sure.
They thank you.
Thank you.
But music really did help me a lot as well, because I found the songs that gave me strength and courage. And I definitely know, you know, now that I have been a fan of your music, I mean, you definitely have songs that give me strength, or that I just love. Oh, I love listening to. I mean, one of my all-time favorite songs of yours is Bravery on Fire from Character.
Yeah.
Yes, I definitely listen to that when I'm needing a little bit of, when I'm feeling a little insecure about something. It just makes me feel like someone else has gone through that, and you want to be brave, you want to be courageous, but
That's so nice to hear. Because that's one of my favorite songs too, and I don't perform it that frequently. But, you know, when I have the opportunity, I will certainly do so for you.
Oh, thank you. Well, Thursday is the perfect opportunity.
I know. It's not a big, long set, but I'll see what I can do.
Okay.
Perfect. I have a new ballad called Belong to You that's on the record that has sort of a similar tenor to it, and it's a gospel ballad. And I think it's in the vein of that song. So I will definitely be doing that.
Oh, I love it. I love it. Mm-hmm. Well, going back to Canopy, I would love to now play off some of the titles of your songs to find out a little bit more about you.
Okay.
So one of the songs on the album is Live It Up, which is also one of the singles you have released in advance of the album. So if you've not heard it yet, you can go to your favorite streaming music platform and listen to it.
It's at radio right now.
Yes,
climbing the charts.
Oh my gosh. So go, if you haven't heard it, go listen to it. But how has this album allowed you to live it up in a way your previous albums have not?
You know, I think I've been touring the US a lot more this year. You know, I frequently go over to the UK. I call it fondly my home away from home. And especially since lockdown and things opened up, I've been over there a lot. More than the US. So yeah, this record has let me live it up in places like, you know, the South and the Northwest, West Coast, East Coast. So I'm all over the place here, definitely living it up with my beautiful bandmates and touring partners like Kristen Ford, and we'll continue to do so. Woo-hoo!
I love it. And another song on the album is The Best Version. So how do you feel this album represents the best version of Rachel Sage today?
Oh, what a great question. Well, you may or may not know that The Best Version was inspired by the desire to transcend that noise of naysayers and haters specifically on social media. So, you know, it is about telling people I've never met out there in the world, watching and listening, I love you. I don't know you, but whatever it is you're dealing with, there's someone out there who already loves you. So I think just being able to express that is certainly putting forward a best version of myself.
Oh my gosh, that is amazing. And it sounds very much like what Valerie Harper, but not Valerie Harper, oh my God.
Ooh, love her.
I love her too, but that's not what I was thinking of. Oh my God. Sure.
Okay, it'll come to you.
It will come to me.
You'll call me later.
Valerie Bertinelli.
Yes.
Yes, she has been very vocal recently about how she has gotten to a point where she, from opinions of strangers that she doesn't know, she doesn't let that affect her anymore. And she just puts that love out there. So
I would hope not. I mean, what a goddess she is.
Yes.
She certainly deserves at this point in her life and at any point, but especially now, to not have that permeate who she is and how she feels about herself. So good to hear that.
Yes. Oh, and Tina said that's a beautiful sentiment, Rachel.
Oh, hooray. Alex, can I look at the comments after we chat? I
Oh,
can't see
yes,
them
because
now, but.
yes, I have been like, I know I have been missing things, but I know I
Yeah.
saw B-Boy Soul. If they message love from your SRG family.
Oh, that's so nice. Hey, B. Yay, I'm glad you're listening.
Yes.
They're my wonderful distribution team. They've been
Oh.
so present, so supportive, and hardworking on this release so far. And it's not even out in the world yet. So thanks to SRG,
Oh, very exciting.
ILS, Universal Virgin.
Yes. And then the title song Canopy, which is all about love and understanding, and that you are creating a canopy for people to come to as a respite, as a, from the craziness of the world, and to come with an open heart, and if they don't understand
That's it.
something. So my question about canopy is gonna
Yeah.
be, what color canopy would you buy for yourself to welcome everybody
Well,
under?
come on. You already know the answer. It's going to be multicolor. I can't pick one color. It's going to be all the things, all the colors and textures and sparkles. So.
I love it. I love it. And lastly, you have a song on the album on Canopy called Underneath. So what
Yeah.
is just
Ooh, you're
underneath
picking all
your
my serious, heart-wrenching songs today. I promise to everybody out there, I promise there's a lot of uplifting, happy, peppy music on this record, but he's picking the zingers because he's a very deep soul.
Yes, exactly. That's what I gravitate to. I mean, I don't get me wrong. I love the fun
Yeah, sorry
music
to
too.
interrupt, but
No
I'm not
worries.
trying to hurt anybody here.
No worries. But the song is called Underneath. So what is
Yeah.
just underneath the surface of Rachel Sage that we don't get to see from what you put out on social media?
Ooh. Well, I mean, I suppose in spite of my preamble, I have a lot of dark moments. It's true. I use music and art as a kind of therapy to lift myself up out of some of those moods and, some of that just lack of confidence, believe it or not. I still get stage fright. I'll still get anxious depending on the nature of the day when I'm on tour. So sometimes that's just underneath the surface. But gratefully, and especially as a cancer thriver, as I'm in remission now for a whole bunch of years. So very, very blessed. But I have a lot of tools now to get me out of those darker moods just under the surface. So.
I love that. Are you able to share what some of those tools are
Oh,
for anybody
sure.
else who's maybe going through a rough time?
Well, you're looking at one behind me. Whenever I feel bummed out at all, just put a pen or paintbrush in my hand, and I'm able to kind of carry that energy onto the canvas or onto a piece of paper. Even if I'm on tour, I'll do it in a little baby sketchbook. And it does kind of help me move through that, much in the same way that, The Artist's Way, that famous book, encourages artists or anyone to free write and kind of purge those thoughts and that sort of subliminal, noise that's maybe holding us back. So creating art is definitely a big form of therapy. And then, yoga and things like acupuncture. Binge watching good Apple TV, especially in the morning show. We all have our things that we do.
We
And
do.
you got to eat right. I mean, that sounds like so basic, but especially on the road, if I'm eating a peanut butter bar instead of a salad, I'm gonna be more depressed. And if I'm getting a beautiful green salad with red peppers and sunflowers and tahini dressing, I mean, doesn't that just sound so happy?
It does. I mean, as somebody who eats a lot of salads, yes, it does. It does. And I do look forward, I mean, I do look forward to my breaks from salads and to
Okay.
indulge. But
I look
I
forward to
will
my salads. They're just so hard to find on tour.
I love it. Well, I do know we have to wrap things up. I cannot believe how quickly this time has
Oh.
flown by.
You always make it so fun, and I love the questions that you ask. You're so thoughtful. So thank you so much for supporting the new album, Canopy. I have to make my next one less shiny. It's
it is very hard. It's really, I think the ring light makes it.
Oh,
really
is that what
glow.
It is?
I think that's what it is. In my opinion, that's what it is.
Can I quickly tell you my very first experience with a ring light, just because it's a fun anecdote
yes.
I've never shared? So there is one behind me now, like a little cheapo Amazon ring light that I got during lockdown. I hardly ever use it. You're getting the full deal here. And I love that on the back, you can adjust the lighting and the whole thing. It's a whole excitement. I haven't really figured out how to do yet optimally. But my first ring light experience was working on the video for What If, I don't know if you know that song, off my album Public Record. I mean, this is going way back, like early 2000s. And my boyfriend at the time was also the director, and he just moved to LA, and he knew his stuff. Like, he had this ring light, he called it a beauty light. And I'm rocking out and I'm lip syncing and I'm seeing myself on a screen, and it completely changed the game. I was like, wow, it doesn't matter that I got no sleep last night. It is somehow giving me an appearance as though I've slept 10 hours. So anyway, just a little story for you.
I love it. I love it. Hence probably why he called it the beauty light, because no matter what you look like, you always look beautiful. I mean, you always look beautiful every time we are together.
You know, if nothing else, I look colorful. So I'll take that.
Well, everybody watching, don't forget Rachel's new album, Canopy, drops next Friday, October 24th. You can pre-order it on Amazon. You can pre-save it on iTunes,
EmpressRecords.com. How about
Empress,
that?
Empress My Records. Label. Yes. Yes, which we didn't even get to talk about. That would be the next. I have to bring that back up in our next interview. You can go to rachelsage.com, empressrecords.com, and that's M-P-R-E-S-S records.com. And don't forget, if you are in New York City next Thursday, or you are coming to New York City next week, next Thursday, October 23rd, Rachel will be live at the Cutting Room, where she will be celebrating the release of Canopy. So you can come hear the show, see Rachel perform live, and pick up your very own copy of the album one day ahead of release day.
Yes, and I am designing my ensemble as we speak, sewing sequins and buttons on a whole new piece of attire.
Oh my God, I can't wait. I can't wait. Well, thank you again for your time today, Rachel, and everybody watching. Thank you so much for joining us. It was great to see you.
Thank you for having me.
You're welcome.
Yay.
See everyone later.
Bye.
Bye.
He'll get the dirt and the scoop and the story, for he happens to be in the know. Just ask anybody who's Adam. Adam lives for the business of show. Call me Adam.com.